ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Is told by Srila Shukadeva Goswami in the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He has just finished describing the story of the churning of the ocean of milk. You see, at one time, the demigods, they displeased the great sage Durvas Muni, and thus they were cursed. And when one displeases great personalities, materially and spiritually, everything auspicious is lost. So taking advantage of the situation, the demons, they perform sacrifice and they please the Brahmins. And they attacked the demigods and defeated them. So the demigods, in a helpless condition, they approached Lord Vishnu, who told them that trying to fight against someone more powerful than you will be of no value. Better you make truce with them. Ask them to join you in churning the ocean of milk, telling them that by churning the ocean with the great Mandara mountain, with Vasuki as the rope, Amrita, nectar, will come, and this nectar will give long, long life, great power to conquer, and to enjoy. So the demigods approached the demons. They each took one side and they churned the ocean. Ultimately, the nectar ascended. And the demons, who were more powerful, they took the nectar for themselves. Because although they unified for the purpose of their own sense gratification, when the sense gratification finally came, they were all fighting over it, because ultimately they were envious. Envious people, they can unite, as we see in politics even today, they can unite to fight against a common enemy, knowing that their own interest is at stake. But even those people that they unite with, they become their worst enemy if they interfere in any way with their sense gratification. So it was at that time that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always saving his devotees, who is the only hope at every step for his devotees, he appeared in the most wondrous form of Mohini Murti, the most beautiful woman that ever appeared in this creation. And by her beauty, her charm, her amorous glances, and her sweet words, she intoxicated the demigods. I mean, the demons. She intoxicated the demons and bewildered them to such an extent, they entrusted unanimously this pot of nectar to her. And she poured it in the mouth of the demigods, gave none to the demons. So at that time, the demigods became very powerful, but the demons, they were very much angry, very much angry. They felt so much cheated. So they installed Bali Maharaj, who was the son of Virochan, and the grandson of Prahlad, and the great-grandson of Hiranyakashipu, a very transcendental family tree that he has. The best devotees and the best demons. So they attacked the demigods, and they fought very valiantly. And the demigods were being defeated. They were being rooted in all directions. So the demigods had no recourse but to again take shelter of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu descended on his bird carrier Garuda to fight against the demons. And ultimately, he defeated him in so many ways. And then he gave great power to Indra. So upon receiving this great power from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bali Maharaj, who was so powerful, he approached Indra, but Indra with his thunderbolt killed him. He dropped dead on the battlefield. In this way, so many of the demigods, of the demons, were being killed by Indra's thunderbolt. And Narada Muni, when he saw that Bali and so many other demons were killed, he went and told powerful relatives of these demons, and they all came to fight against Indra. One's name was Namuchi. And Indra was just killing everyone with his thunderbolt, just destroying them. But when Namuchi approached him, he threw his thunderbolt, and it had no effect. And he threw it again and again, and it had no effect. And Indra was bewildered. What to do? Then he heard a voice from the sky that this demon has been received a benediction, that he cannot be killed by any weapon, either wet or dry. So Indra began to think, and he decided, what can I produce that is neither wet nor dry? So he created a weapon out of foam. Foam is neither wet nor dry. And with that weapon, he killed Namuchi. And in this way, Indra annihilated the demons. And they just ran for their lives, and they took the dead corpse of Bali Maharaj and took it to a mountain where Shukracharya, the spiritual master of the demons, was waiting. And Shukracharya, by his great mystic power, he touched the body of Bali Maharaj, and he touched the body of the other dead soldiers of the demons, and he brought them all back to life. So Bali Maharaj is very grateful and thankful to his Gurudev, Shukracharya. And although Bali Maharaj was the king of the demons, because he inherited the throne from his ancestors, because of Prahlad's birth in that dynasty, although he was a demon, he was a great devotee, and he was very pious. Although he was very, very carefully performing his prescribed duty. So he performed a great sacrifice. And in the performance of this sacrifice, he satisfied his spiritual master, Shukracharya. Not only that, but with such humility, devotion, and care, he served all the Brahmins who were the descendants of Bhrigu Muni. And they were all very, very satisfied. So they were bestowing on him great, great benedictions. And then they performed the great sacrifice, and from the fire came a wonderful, wonderful chariot. And undefeatable bows and arrows and clubs, weapons to fight with. You see, when we please the devotees of the Lord, when we please the Brahmins, it is explained by Shukadev Goswami, the benediction makes us insurmountable. So Bali Maharaj, he gathered, after offering obeisances to the descendants of Bhrigu and Shukracharya, he gathered his armies and he marched on the kingdom of Indra. And when Indra saw from his palace of Indraloka the effulgence of Bali Maharaj just emanating in all directions, and he saw the enthusiasm of his massive armies, Indra was wondering, how can I possibly resist their prowess? So he went to his spiritual master, Brihaspati. In a perplexed state, he said, what can we do? What can we do to defend our kingdom? And Brihaspati said, nothing. He said, because Bali Maharaj has been given the blessings of the great Brahmin descendants of Bhrigu, they cannot be defeated by any means. The best thing you could do is become invisible and hide and let them take all of your property. He said, your only hope is if you please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he personally helps you. There is no other way. So Indra, Vayu, Surya, Varuna, Agni, all of these great demigods, they had to become invisible and hide where nobody could find them. And Bali Maharaj, in this way, conquered the entire universe. He took control of all the planets below Brahmaloka. So shortly after this, the news came to the mother of the demigods. Her name is Aditi, and she was feeling very sorry because, as you know, every mother by nature likes to see her children very well off, with a nice house, with nice family, secure. Isn't that the concern of every mother? Our security, our material wealth, affluence, prosperity. Now her husband, Kashyapa Muni, at the time was away performing tapasya for many years. And she was simply remaining in the hermitage of Kashyapa Muni, and she was lamenting, feeling too much despondent. So after so many years, Kashyapa Muni returned, and he saw that his whole hermitage looked like it was vacant, like it was empty. Because, you know, a place is only as beautiful as the people within that place. That where there is enthusiasm, inspiration, love, a place becomes beautiful and effulgent. And where people are unenthused, unenlivened, depressed, the whole place appears to be depressed. So often we say that this temple, however nicely we decorate it, however many beautiful ornaments we put everywhere, nice paintings, even if we build the most wonderful, beautiful marble palace temple, the beauty of the place will not be appreciated by the hearts unless there is great devotion, love, and enthusiasm amongst the people living in that temple. Factually, if there is this inspiration and devotion to God, even a little clay hut becomes attractive to the whole world. So although Kashyapa Muni was living in the most beautiful, wonderful natural surroundings, because his wife was so depressed, he saw his whole hermitage as being vacant and void. And when he saw his wife Aditi, he was very pained at heart. He said, why is it? I have returned after a long time. Why you are depressed? She said, because our sons, the demigods, They have been conquered by the asuras and they have lost everything. They do not even have a home. They are hiding. What can I do? I'll do anything. But I want to bring my sons back to their proper positions as the kings of the heavens. So Kashyapa Muni, who was actually a great sage and very detached, with deep understanding of the philosophical truths of life, and also a pure devotee of the Lord, he began to explain to Aditi that everything in this material world is temporary, that gaining something, losing something, it is all inevitable. There's no reason to lament over these things. But he saw that due to her natural motherly affection, although she heard very submissively his philosophical dissertation, still she was aggrieved at heart. So Kashyapa Muni told her that his own father, Lord Brahma, had received an instruction of how to please the personality of Godhead and thus have all one's desires fulfilled. And Brahma taught him how to perform the payovrata. Payovrata, he explained, is a sacrifice that you must perform for 12 days. It involves worshiping the deities, chanting the names of God, meditating on the form of the Lord, and so many offerings, different types of fasting. So she performed this payovrata very, very carefully, strictly according to the instructions of her husband. And on the 12th day, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared before her. He appeared holding the conch shell, the disc, the lotus flower, and club. He appeared with a beautiful blackish complexion with golden ornaments. Lord Vishnu was standing before her, and Aditi, filled with so much love, choked with ecstatic emotion, she just fell to the ground and offered her full obeisances. She could not even speak. She wanted to offer prayers, but she was so choked up with gratitude and emotion. But finally, after some time, before the beautiful darshan of Lord Narayan, she began to offer him prayers. And the Supreme Lord Vishnu promised that he would personally become her son. Because Kashyapa Muni was such a great devotee, and because she had pleased him, he would personally incarnate to deliver the heavenly kingdoms again to her children, the demigods. So at that time, Kashyapa Muni, after the Lord disappeared, he could feel the presence of the Lord within his heart. He could feel that the Lord had manifested himself within his heart. And then through his semen, he delivered the Lord into the womb of his wife, Aditi. When Aditi appeared within the womb, she became most effulgent and most full of joy. And it is described that at most auspicious time, when the star of Abhijit was rising in the horizon, ascending, on the very, very holy day of Shravan Dwadasi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Aditi. And he appeared again in his beautiful form of Vishnu, with blackish complexion, with beautiful Kastuba Mani jewel, holding his four weapons, auspicious symbols. And Kashyapa Muni and Aditi both fell on their hands and knees and began to offer prayers. And right before their eyes, that beautiful form of Narayan assumed the form of a beautiful little dwarf, Vamanadev. Being born of the best of the Brahmins, Kashyapa, he was a Brahmin dwarf. And when he was born, all of the great demigods, everyone began to celebrate. And even Lord Brahma himself came to offer his obeisances to the Lord and his prayers. Very soon after that, their beautiful little child, Vamanadev, was offered the sacred thread. And in this ceremony, so many of the most exalted personalities came to offer gifts to Sri Vamanadev and offer their prayers of love. And then this boy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this most munificent, wonderful, golden form, holding a danda in one hand, holding an umbrella and his kamandalu begging pot, with his body covered with a deer skin, he began to walk to the place where Bali Maharaj was performing a great, 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 great sacrifice under the supervision of Shukracharya. When he came into that sacrifice, all the descendants of Bhrigu, who were very great, powerful Brahmins and most pious in every respect, when they saw the effulgence of the Lord in this most wonderful incarnation, they all stood up to offer their respects. And Lord Vamanadeva approached Bali Maharaj as a beggar, as a humble brahmachari. And Bali Maharaj knew that when a brahmachari comes to your door, you must give him in charity whatever he wants. Because Bali Maharaj understood that it is only in giving in charity to great souls that your life becomes auspicious. There is no use for big, big kingdom or great wealth or great power if your life is inauspicious. So Vamanadev was standing there with his little begging pot, and Bali Maharaj said, "You have come to my door asking for charity. You can take whatever you want. I can give you quantities of gold, quantities of jewels. I can give you anything you want. Ask of me." And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his beautiful form of a brahmachari dwarf, he replied, "Bali Maharaj, I ask for only 3 steps of land." Now, as you know, there is a saying, when you approach a big man, you should never ask for something small. You should ask for something big. It's an insult to ask a very, very great person for something very small. So Bali Maharaj was more or less insulted. 3 steps of land and you are a dwarf, your steps are so small. I can give you countries, I can give you planets. I am the proprietor of the entire universe. Do you know who you're talking to? I can give you power, control, beautiful apsara women, I can give you anything you want. Why are you only asking for 3 steps of land? And Vamanadeva replied, because I am not like you. He said, if one does not find peace and satisfaction in his own heart through self-realization, then one cannot be satisfied even if he conquers the entire universe and controls and owns everything. But if one finds contentness in his own heart through self-realization, then whether one controls the entire creation or whether one has absolutely nothing, one will be in perfect peace and perfect joy. He said, Bali Maharaj, because you have not found peace within yourself, you have not made that connection with your soul. Therefore, although you have conquered the whole universe, you are still dissatisfied. But because I have controlled my senses, and I'm finding love and peace within, I am satisfied with nothing. All I require is three steps. So Bali Maharaj, being very virtuous, very honorable, he said, all right, I grant you three steps of land. At that time, Shukracharya, who was the presiding priest of the sacrifice, he became very disturbed. He spoke to Bali Maharaj that, withdraw your promise. Do not give him three steps of land. If one's life is in danger, if one's wealth is at risk, it is not against religious principles to withdraw one's promise. Do you know that this is Vishnu? He has come to cheat you. He will steal everything from you. I command you as your guru, do not give him these three steps of land, because if you do, you'll lose everything. And Bali Maharaj began to consider. He began to consider that if one gives one's word to a brahmachari, if one goes back on that word, all one's virtue, all one's dignity, all one's integrity of life is lost. He began to think that all my power, all my money, all my affluence, it is all temporary. But one who upholds the dignity of truth in one's life, that person, as a kshatriya, his fame becomes immortal. And besides that, if he's Vishnu, he already owns everything anyway. And it's the perfection of my life if I give everything to him. And if he arrests me after I give him everything, my grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, look at how he benefited by surrendering to Vishnu. So he told Shukracharya that you are my guru and you are telling me not to surrender to Vishnu. You are a bogus guru. I reject you. And Shukracharya became so angry that he cursed Bali Maharaj that because of this offense, you will lose everything. So then Bali Maharaj turned to Lord Vamanadeva and he said, now, please kindly take your three steps. And right before everyone's eyes, the form of this little beautiful dwarf began to grow and grow and grow and grow until he had a massive blackish form that covered the entire universe. It just filled the sky. as far as Bali Maharaj could see, all directions were contained within his form. He realized that this was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then with his first step, he covered all the lower and middle planets of this universe. And with his second step, went all the way beyond Brahma Loka to the very farthest extent of the universe. And as he was passing through Brahma Loka, even Lord Brahma and all the residents began to worship the lotus foot as it was passing. And when he reached the very border of the universe, he pierced that border. And as you know, each universe is floating in the Karana ocean, the causal ocean. Mahavishnu, when he wants to create this cosmic manifestation through his exhalation, countless universes emanate from his nostrils and his pores, and along with that, perspiration comes from his body, and all the universes are floating in that perspiration. And that is called the causal ocean. It is divine, it is sacred. So, when Lord Vamanadeva's toe pierced the covering of the universe, the water from the causal ocean entered into the universe. And the first thing it did is it washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva. And then it fell into the heavenly planets. And to this day, that water is known as the holy river Ganges. So then, Bali Maharaj was watching, struck with wonder. He had lost everything. There was nothing else. And Bali Maharaj, with folded palms, was just in great awe and reverence. But the demons, the soldiers of Bali Maharaj, they were very angry. They could not tolerate that they had just all lost everything that they fought so hard for. So with their weapons, they all came to attack Vamanadeva. But the messengers of Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, they all came and started just fighting and annihilating all of these demons. And Bali Maharaj told them to stop. He said, you should all go and hide in the lower hellish planets for now. And at that time, Garudaji, with his mystic ropes, he tied up Bali Maharaj and arrested him. Again, Vamanadeva resumed his form as a dwarf, and they brought Bali to his court. And Vamanadeva said that you have promised me 3 steps of land, and you have only given me 2. You have breached on your word. Where will I put my 3rd step? And at that time, Bali Maharaj, in such a completely embarrassing, humiliating position, he was helpless. He had lost everything. He was tied with ropes, and he was under arrest. And just a few minutes before, he was the king of the universe. This is the fleeting nature of material prosperity. In one moment, you can be nothing, and the next moment, you can be everything. So it was at that time that Bali Maharaj, he said to Lord Vamanadev, that you are my eternal Lord, you are my eternal Master. Whatever I have is yours. There's only one thing left I haven't given you, my life. Put your third step upon my head. I surrender to you. At that time, Prahlad Maharaj, who was the grandfather of Bali Maharaj, he appeared and he began to praise the mercy of Lord Vishnu. Just see his mercy. Just see how causeless his mercy is. He was telling Vamanadeva, he was telling Bali Maharaj, how fortunate you are. You are so fortunate that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has personally come and taken everything away and given you a chance to surrender to your life to his lotus feet. All material attributes, all material prosperity, they are all flickering. The greatest, the supreme wealth is shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that you have attained today. And he began to praise Vamanadeva with so many wonderful words, thanking him for being so merciful to his descendant, his grandson. And then Lord Brahma appeared and began to praise Bali Maharaj's choice to surrender to the Lord. And he also appeared and began to praise the great causeless mercy of Vamanadeva. And it was at that time that Vindhyavali, the wife of Bali Maharaj, appeared. And she was telling Bali Maharaj, in front of everybody, how foolish you are to be attached to anything other than the lotus feet of the Lord. And in this way, she was also praising Lord Vamanadeva. So Lord Vamanadeva told Bali Maharaj that I will now give you a place of residence. There is a planet called Suthala. Although it is a lower planet, it is more beautiful than the heavenly planets. You should go there and reign. Reign as king of Suthala. But know that you will always perceive my divine presence with you at all times, because you have thus attained the perfection of life by surrendering everything. So Bali Maharaj went to Suthala, and then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, he was just worshipped by all of the demigods and by all of the great rishis and all of the Brahmins and all of the sages. And then he reinstalled all of the demigods in their heavenly abodes. And Aditi and Kashyapa were just jubilant that their children were again, by the mercy of the Lord, delivered. And then Vamanadeva returned to his eternal abode. So although the demigods, by the grace of God, they received re-entrance into their eternal, into their heavenly abodes, we know through the Bhagavatam, so many times after that, they lost it, they gained it, they lost it, they gained it. So who actually is the most fortunate person in this story? Although the Lord gave the demigods everything they wanted materially, he took everything away from Bali, but who is the most fortunate? Who do we remember? Who do we glorify? Bali Maharaj, because he surrendered everything. There are 9 processes of devotional service. Sravana Kirtana, Smarana Bandana, Pada Sevana Dasire, Pujana Sakijana, Atmani Vedana.
The culmination of all the nine processes of devotional service is Atmanivedanam, which means to surrender everything. And Bali Maharaj is the illustrious example of that great devotee of the Lord who achieved the supreme perfection by surrendering everything at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. So there are so many wonderful messages that we could learn from this story. But primarily, we should have faith that whatever Krishna does is perfect. Sometimes Krishna appears to be, for no just reason, treating us in such a way, putting us in an embarrassing condition. Can you imagine how embarrassing it was to Bali Maharaj in front of all of his family members, in front of all of his armies, in front of all of his subjects? He was reduced to nothing. He lost everything, cursed by his own guru. Of course, Bali Maharaj felt that because you are not teaching me how to surrender to Vishnu, you're a bogus guru anyway. But still, because he had the power of a Brahmin, his curse had great effect. But because he had faith that if I live by the truth and I satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I have nothing to fear. This was his faith. And the result, he became one of the 12 Mahajans, one of the 12 of the supremest authorities in knowledge of the Absolute Truth for all time to come. He attained the perfection of life, transcendental loving service to the Lord. So Rupa Goswami, in very simple terms, have said, whatever you offer to the Lord, do not think that you are the loser, but you gain hundreds and thousands, millions of times over. And this is the most perfect example, the story of Bali Maharaj. He willingly gave everything. He willingly gave all of his wealth, all of his power, all of his influence, even his freedom. And ultimately, the Lord was still not satisfied until he gave his very life, until he gave all his separate, independent desires and put his head at the feet of the Lord. It is said that we must die to live. This story is a perfect example of what it means to die to live. He died in every sense materially. He lost everything. To die means to lose. But ultimately, after he gave up his free will by surrendering his head to the feet of Vishnu, at that time his ego was dead. And here we find a practical example. How to give our very life to our spiritual master, who is the representative of Lord Vamanadeva, the representative of Lord Sri Krishna. But unless we have this faith in the supreme mercy of the Lord, how will we give? We will be afraid to give. If I give this much, it's all right, but if I give more than that of my wealth, of myself, then what will be my future?
because of our lack of faith, we hold back in so many ways. But Bali Maharaj had this faith. He was willing to give everything. And can you imagine, after he gave everything, after he gave the whole universe to the Lord was still not satisfied. He arrested him. Because there was one thing left. His free will, his life. You see, not only did he already give all of his wealth, all of his power, all of his armies, everything, he was arrested. That means he even gave his physical body. What was left? Only one thing was left. His free will. His heart. That he had not yet given. And that's what Vamanadeva wanted. And thus he attained the supreme perfection of life. And he is also revealing to us how wonderful and glorious it is to offer our lives in the service of the Lord and attain supreme perfection. Bali Maharaj, what did he get in return? Entrance into Sutala Loka, which is more munificent than all of the other heavenly planets. And Srila Prabhupada explained that Vamanadeva, always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, loves to serve his devotees. Vamanadeva personally stands as the doorkeeper of Sutala Loka. Just to give his divine darshan to Bali Maharaj at all times. So Rupa Goswami said, do not think that if you give something to the Lord that you will lose. You will gain infinitely the treasure of divine love. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.